It's 5:31 on Siren 107.3 FM, and probably throughout the United Kingdom, more or less. On board now, we bring back the ace Farmers on Film creator, and indeed top cheese person, when she's not actually doing Oaty Biscuits. She's going to be talking about the upcoming Nantwich County Show, and indeed the celebration of quality cheese and Farmers on Film. Who would that be, Tarina? Who would that be, that person that we're going to actually introduce in a few seconds? Who are we going to be speaking to?
Is that Sarah Gayton?
It would be Sarah Gayton. How are you, Sarah Gayton?
I'm absolutely stunning.
Straight in there, no messing about. The tally chart for the S-word is already up and running, which is brilliant stuff. Quick introduction, we have Dr. Musna Rahman, who is a top historian or literature? So?
Literature.
Mm. Okay. Part of the new school of English and journalism, then?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting, isn't it?
I am so excited.
I can tell. My tip for the full-time school leader, but still. And, of course, we have the equally fabulous Tarina Jones. Sarah, looking at the Nantwich show, it was the first words that Tarina actually said early this afternoon when we went away for the pre-show coffee. She said, cheese. Did you not, Tarina?
I did.
Yeah, cheese. Lots of cheese. Even more wonderful cheese, quality cheese. That's just part of what you're going to be doing at the Nantwich County Show, though, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's the world's biggest cheese show, Alex. You don't get a bigger show anywhere in the whole wide world, and it's happening at Nantwich. The amount of cheese, you just, there's row after row after row after row after row of cheese. And it's just like a paradise if you love cheese.
Literally, cheese heaven.
I'm going to go.
Exactly. In fact, if you love cheese, this is the event for yourself. In fact, there is a film on YouTube which actually outlines why an artist in the United States is so interested in cheese and how he's actually come over to actually work through this whole sort of cheese thing. It's amazing. Mm. Anyway, what about you, Musna? Are you a cheese?
I love cheese. Who doesn't love cheese unless you're lactose intolerant? And probably then you'll probably love
intolerant,
it.
Maybe.
But you just can't have it. But you still love it.
As William Sitwell said last week on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, in his usual slot, there are indeed equal numbers of there are enough cheeses in Britain, different styles of cheese, to actually have two different cheeses for every day of the year.
No way.
I will.
But you know what? I only like certain types of cheese. I'm a cheese person, but I am strictly a cheddar cheese person. Mm-hmm. I don't like fancy cheeses. Like Christmas time, I go straight when everyone's got like the selection boxes out. Go straight for the cheddar, and everyone else getting like, you know, the blue ones and the fungusy ones and stuff. I'm like,
What cheese do you like, Sarah? Or are you going to say no? I stay away from cheese. I much prefer to actually deal with the film or these kind of things.
It's got to be the Cheshire cheese. I've just had a whole block this afternoon just to get ready for next week.
No sleep tonight.
Go, Sarah.
Well, we had last night, we had a film submitted by one of the original Farmers on Film students. He had to do a film in the first year of his studies. He's now graduated and he's gone away and done an absolutely engaging film about Appleby's cheese and makers and farmers from Shropshire. It's just so lovely, and I just thought, you know what, I better go and have some Cheshire cheese now just to pay homage to that film. He's nailed it. I mean, to be honest, we're also running like a cheese competition called the Cheese Factor, and we've had absolutely stunning entries all across the country of people's, farmers and cheesemakers making their products, and it's opened a whole new world to me. I thought I knew about cheese, but now I know even more.
You've gone cheese postgraduate on us, haven't you? You know, you've actually gone. You've gone through that undergraduate level. You've crossed that threshold, and you're now into. You've passed the master's class. You've gone through MPhil. You are cheese PhD. It's fantastic.
Ah, definitely. You can call me doctor anytime.
Helen Coxon, a celebrity chef and the UK's food, drink and tourism ambassador, is the headliner for the first ever Farmers on Film Festival, with, of course, the chance to actually celebrate BBC's Farmyard TV stars, to celebrate the Olympic legacy and more at the world's largest cheese show. Sarah, this is very much your baby. We followed this through right from the pre-Olympic days, where Sarah was actually looking to use barcodes and digicodes to get people celebrating the best of British farming and the best of British produce and so on. This must be a very proud moment for yourself, the first ever Farmers on Film Festival next Tuesday, Sarah.
Oh, Alex, I cannot believe it's actually happening, to be honest. Everybody that is coming to speak has not been paid for it. We haven't even got any money for the expenses. They all wanted to support, and they all want to st- start this conversation? I know we started it about 4 years ago. How are we going to do it? But, you know, things chug on and chug on. But all these people, quite inspirational people, are going to come together in the same room. We are going to have our own film crew there as well, making a documentary about it. But it's going to be quite a powerful, hopefully a pivotal moment where we can just say, look, let's get these farmers out of those parlours, onto the cameras and onto people's phones. Because people love these little stories that are coming out. And there's so many unique ones. I'll tweet you on about Ernie, the cheesemaker from Staffordshire, and he makes a cheese that he says is the only one in the world that has this A2 milk sort of protein. It's something to do with the Guernsey cow. So I don't think it's, if you've got a lactose intolerance, I don't think you can eat it, but people with other intolerances to milk can actually eat his cheese. And he kept this quiet. Can you imagine it? I've been known him for 4 years, and he has the world's only type of cheese that certain people can eat. It's like crazy. Then there's another gentleman in Suffolk. He produces the only raw, unpasteurised milk brie in the country. Absolutely stunning detail goes into his cheese making. And again, these unique people have done their films and to get their message out into the wider public.
I, for a moment there, thought we've got another star. In fact, I knew we've got another star with respect to Ernie, the cheesemaker from Staffordshire. I thought he was the fastest milkman in the West. We could have gone that way, but no. He's waiting until the milk has actually curdled. He's produced cheese for everyone, which is wonderful. Not only that, but you've also had a dedicated film message sent from the United Nations Food and Farming Organization for the UN Year of Family Farming. And, of course, Elliot Grove, the founder of the Rain Dance Film Festival, has also sent his best wishes along. Just talk us through some of the kind of people who have actually sort of been supporting this event, Sarah.
Could you imagine, Alex, to get a film from the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization? It's their year of the family farming, and they know how important it is, these families, to keep us fed, basically. So when I contacted them, I put all my points along, and what I've done, I even put all the radio interviews that we've done with you, all the other interviews that we've done on other radio stations, and all the hard work. And I think they saw that actually this little concept could have quite a major impact on getting this message, you know, where your food comes from. So the film can only be played out once. I wonder, because it's a special one for our event.
Well, does it self-destruct there after it's been played or something? Is it like Mission Impossible? Is it going to have to run for the hills? You know, this film will actually explode in 30 seconds. Surely not. It'll just go off if it's cheese.
I think you should write to the lady and ask if we can play it at Lincoln as well, because it's such an... the phenomenal amount of farmers that are out there in this world. It's amazing, you know, to think the number... I can't even pronounce the number because I've forgotten, but it's millions and millions and millions of these farmers.
It's an unpronounceable number of food.
It is. And also with Elliot, what happened with Elliot is that after seeing the Moo Man and seeing the absolutely... what the power of film can do to these farmers and to get people back buying local produce. I sent him an email asking for help, and then I phoned him. And to be honest, I didn't realise I'd got Elliot on the phone. I just had a bit of a rant, as I do, and I wouldn't shut up speaking. And I said, nobody would fund us. Nobody would give us any money. And we had to do it just like whenever we could get a little bit of help, we just took it and just battled and battled and battled with a flip video, a £70 flip video, right? Anyway, then he sort of went off the phone. I was like, oh, blown that, because I got it, you know, won't get a bit ranty. Anyway, I got this
stunning
email.
Doesn't sound like you, Sarah, surely.
Well, I got this stunning email back, and it was from him. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, he's one of the most nicest gentlemen in the film industry. He's been direct messaging me, he's been phoning me, he's been Facebooking me, emailing, all making it so cooperative to get this message out there. And he's actually a farmer. His original upbringing was a farmer, so I think he realises how important this little concept is. So I'm absolutely amazed at his cooperation and his generosity, to be honest.
It's the power of the Gaten mistress. That's the important thing that comes through. You see him irrepressible.
Biscuits, Alex. I took London lots of biscuits.
Yeah. How long is it since you brought some Oaty biscuits to the Siren FM studios? Years.
Listen, yeah. There's a couple of things here. One, if I know it's a long way from Lincoln to come up, but if the students could just all share a car and come up, or the teachers, the lecturers, just get in a car and come up next Tuesday, Just for one day, we've got people coming from Wales. We've got Fiona Lake from Australia that's come. We've got a lady from Ireland that's jumping on a plane. And it's an event where we've got some of the most exciting...
We should be getting on the right plane, because if you just jump on a random plane, who knows where you could end.
Sorry, I just think about this. Hotel and everything. Yeah. But I think it's just this, you know, I think you should come. And what we will do, we will get that... We've got these documentary makers that we will basically then come down to Lincoln. If we can play the film out, play some more of these cheese factor films out in Lincoln, and we'll get people having a whole discussion. So we can film your responses to the film, and we can send that back to the UN. Because at the end of the year, they have requested from each member state, I think we are a member of them, to see what we've done for the UN Year of Family Farming. So I think it's going to be quite powerful, to be honest. So I will be down in the new season.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm looking at farmersonfilm.org. There's a wonderful, indeed slightly scary shot of a gentleman with a bell waving it at the camera with the festival 29th of July 2014. The aim of this festival is to start a discussion on how we use film, social media and smartphones to link the public to the farmer. Yes, Tarina, some children still think that milk comes from the supermarket.
They do. They do.
Exactly. To instantly see where their foods come from, who produced it, where it was produced, to also showcase what our rural areas have to offer for rural tourism, bringing different sectors together, and it's also hoped that it will drive discussion, creativity and innovation into the whole area. Heaps of other stuff on line as well from that point of view. It's working well. Tarina, any comments, thoughts or observations or questions?
I was just going to ask, as a cheese lover myself, do you think that supermarkets are sort of impacting the cheese market by sort of restricting it almost? Because I buy cheese off a local market and there's a much bigger range, but then you go somewhere else, not many names, and you've got like a limited amount, and I often wonder about the welfare of the farmers and, you know, are they getting enough money from this? And I think it's a concern, especially in Lincolnshire, where we've been a big farming community, and I think it's important.
Absolutely.
This is the whole concept is, again, to... This is why I think you should come next Tuesday, to be part of the conversation. You can ask those questions at this event. I haven't got no magic wand, but all I know is the research that the Staffordshire University students did for Farmers on Film said once you put the farmer in front of the public and you have an honest, open... transparent conversation with them, to the public basically, with the farmer, is that more people start going to buy from them, and it's a huge economic driver. If you imagine with all your farmers in Lincolnshire, even at just a fraction of them, took up that challenge to be filmed and to trial this little concept out, not only would you get people directly linked to their produce, but all your tourism activities would also be out there for everybody to see. The Norfolk film, it was made by a 12-year-old girl. Her dad's a filmmaker, but she presents it and everything. I'll tweet it later. That went to New York. It went to Australia. It went to Canada. Instantly, people were retweeting it. Now, again, you might say, so what? A few people have seen it. But you never know what will come of this, the whole social crowd out there. If they like your story, they'll promote it for you. And I think you've just got to take the chance. You've got to take... The opportunity is here next Tuesday. And... for other people to come that haven't been paid or are not getting expenses or nothing, to be honest, I think we should just get that room absolutely packed full of people and get this conversation rocking that day. And that question is bang on. So if you can come, I will love you forever.
We'll do our very best, won't we, Musna?
Yes. I really, really want to try some of the more exotic cheddars that they might have on offer.
Exotic cheddars, yeah. Yeah, I'll have a word with Ed Wellman, see if he's actually around, see if we can make a journey to Nantwich for this whole thing. Because after all, it's not the end of the universe, is it really?
Where is Nantwich?
It's in Cheshire.
Is it near Manchester?
Yeah. It's really close. It's about an hour from Manchester, the other way. But the other thing is, do you know what's happening next week?
What's happening next week?
It's nearly the 2-year anniversary from when the Olympics started.
There we are. Yeah.
Some
people might have thought that's what this thing in Glasgow is all about with respect to the Commonwealth Games. Different form of games entirely. Not as many. Different kind of range of countries and not as big as the United Nations and the Olympic Games. But yeah. Is Sebastian going to be dropping in then? Lord Coe?
Well, I actually got... Not at Taz, but I actually met him last year, you know.
Yes.
It was amazing. And I only asked him one question...
What cheese does he like?
Yeah.
It's what the public want to know every time, you know. That's the crucial question.
It's a killer question. question, isn't it? When you've met somebody you've tried to sort of get on board for the past 2 or 3 years, do you like cheese? And he said he did. So I'm still hoping that we will get a response from him. I'm positive he will, because what's going to happen with the documentary, it's not just going to sort of start and end at the actual show. It's going to carry on. The fact is, you know, the new Secretary of State, Elizabeth Truss, she was one of all of the Norfolk MPs that absolutely signed a letter in 2012 in full support for the whole Farmers on Film concept. The letter that basically they all signed was looking at using this concept to drive economic growth in the rural areas. They couldn't have been more sort of proactive and visionary to sign that letter to take it to the Olympic Committee.
And
now, she is now the Secretary of State, so you know what?
Thanks,
I think we've got a campaign.
Sarah, we are working together for the benefit of cheesemakers and the world beyond. As they said in Life of Brian, blessed are the cheesemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Muzna, last two questions for Sarah, please.
What is your favourite cheese, Sarah?
Oh, nice. Good question.
Oh, my favourite cheese. It's got to be Cheshire. Absolutely stunning.
Fantastic. So farmersonfilm.org is a wonderful website to go to find out more about this. Obviously, you can connect in all sorts of ways. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Sarah Gayton?
Oh, I have. And have you noticed that you're on my website?
Do you know, I felt that sense of, I was looking at various comments that Penny Evans has been saying in Buxton about how she's giving up on the TV series of Hannibal because it's too brutal. I've suggested she should just listen to some of the back numbers of the Midweek Drive shows that are available as podcasts. Maybe people said that's a good idea. Phil Leonis is taking time out, but Lily Holliman will be joining us later on in the show. But in between times, I felt that sort of slight sort of frisson of excitement where I thought, oh, I'm on the webpage. Oh, there we are. It's like a virtual field. I take it then, Sarah Gayton, you will return.
Oh, definitely. Next Tuesday with you guys in Nantwich. And I will get you the biggest bag of oaty biscuits to take back.
Graduate of the UCLA School of Dentistry, a holder of a separate degree in bacteriology, and indeed has spent the last 2 decades producing sensational product which actually addresses the whole issue of bad breath. You rightly actually deserve the plaudits of actually being awarded the bad breath guru status in terms of media circles. We're delighted then to welcome from California to the Midweek Drive the fabulous Dr. Harold Katz. How are you?
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Now, 2002, it seems like only a decade or so ago, and indeed it was, the Bad Breath Bible was actually produced. Definitive guide to the causes and cures of bad breath and taste disorders. It's all down to sulfur, it would seem, and radicals and such like, not the stomach at all.
That's very true. In fact, yesterday I was doing a bad breath testing event up at the Boots headquarters. We tested about 100 employees over at Boots, and I was shocked that so many people still believe that bad breath comes from the stomach. It's actually coming from bacteria that live in the back of the tongue, throat, and tonsils. And these bacteria, under certain conditions, such as a dry mouth or eating too many proteins, produce chemicals. So one is hydrogen sulfide. That's the rotten egg smell. Another chemical is called cadaverine. Another is called putrescine. That's not my sister-in-law's name. That's an actual chemical. This fallacy that it comes from the digestive system is an unfortunate old wives' tale. And the analogy I always give is if you eat a large lunch today and bend over and tie your shoes, your lunch will not fall out of your mouth. There are muscles that line your esophagus that prevent odors from escaping. So people sort of interpret belching or burping as a bad breath odor. That's a completely different sensation. That's not bad breath.
Absolutely. We won't get into peristaltic wave movements and various other factors at this
stage. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But intrigued in terms of obviously the California thing, because I can see obviously as you have offices literally not too far away from 20th Century Fox, makeup people, you go into the makeup artist, I would have thought it could be death for an artist if they go in there and they're suffering from bad breath. They obviously need to bear in mind some of the things you talk about in terms of making sure that the teeth and the tongue are correctly cleaned.
It's very true. One of my first patients was actually a Las Vegas lounge singer, and she would tell me when she would belt out a song, people in the first row would just get up and leave and mumble under their breath, "Wow, her breath stinks." It was just terrible for her career. And I would have ministers, and he would tell me on Sunday as he would give his sermon, people in the front row of the church would just get up and mutter, "Oh my God, his breath is horrendous. It would smell like hellfire." Sulfur, as you mentioned early on, is the key element in bad breath. Sulfur is the element by which nature creates odors, whether it's a skunk odor or all sorts of odors. Sulfur is that element by which nature creates the stink. So that's a common element. So that's what you're smelling in bad breath. And unfortunately, it's the same odor that creates rotting vegetables, rotting meats, so on and so forth.
Which brings us neatly round to the TheraBreath system. Back in 1993, the internationally acclaimed California Breath Clinic was actually established. Since then, it's pretty much been one success after another. It's almost been almost a one-person campaign to rid the world of poor dental hygiene.
That's very true. In fact, I've been around the world several times. I've been to Southeast Asia, been all over Europe. What we're doing now, we actually created a specific brand for the UK. We've renamed it The Breath Company, and we're bringing it to Boots. It actually started just this past week as an introduction to Boots, the Breath Company mouthwash, two different flavors, the Breath Company toothpaste, and our mouth wetting lozenges. So a perfect introduction. For the UK as the Breath Company. And we're very happy. We've actually had quite a bit of research on these formulas just to prove that they work instantaneously and for over 12 hours. So a lot of that research actually was done initially at the University of British Columbia, and we've done research in Southeast Asia as well as in Europe. So it's funny, the initial patient in all this research was my 13-year-old daughter. She was the first person that came to me with a complaint about bad breath. She was 13 years old, on the way home from school, crying that her friends were making fun of her breath, and I sort of did a little experiment on her to find out what her problem was, and it was dry mouth that was driving the problem. Her tongue was no longer pink. She had a white coating on her tongue, and my curiosity sort of drove me to do a little bit of research on her to find out what was causing it, and indeed it was the anaerobic sulfur-producing bacteria. And 20 years later, I'm talking to you on the radio about bad breath, so obviously, my curiosity led me to do a little more research, and here I am talking about bad breath with you.
Well, certainly the old traditional British custom of developing stink bombs for chemistry lessons with hydrogen sulfide, that's just one indication of where it's not a good sign at all.
Exactly.
If your mouth works with that. To floss or not to floss? That's a question that has vexed people for many a year. Would you say that flossing is obviously just as important as cleaning the tongue as well?
Oh my God, it's critical. You must floss. In fact, the last time I was in England, I saw an article, I think it was in the Daily Mail, flossing once a day will add 5 years to your life, and it's just so basic science. If your gums bleed, you literally have an open wound site. Toxins from your mouth enter that open wound site, travel through the bloodstream, into the heart valves, into the brainstem, across the placenta, and does havoc. Women who have bleeding gums are 7 times more likely to have premature low birth weight babies. Science shows so many times people that have bleeding gums are more likely to have heart attacks, strokes, etc., etc. Please floss at least once a day. If you do it twice a day, I will give you an honorary dental degree. It's so critical to floss your teeth. And if you hate flossing your teeth, sit down in front of Coronation Street or whatever you want to do. Take a piece of dental floss and just get it in between your teeth and do it. You got to do it. Very important.
Or presumably, if you're in the States, Days of Our Lives. One of those two things would work.
Yes.
looking to some of our regular California correspondents, Phil Linus, Lily Holliman, and so on, they might well avail themselves bells of the Halimeter. But you've also got a wonderful way of actually demonstrating or just testing at home if you've got bad breath. Because there is something where occasionally people who actually suffer from bad breath don't realise that they might have bad breath. But there is an interesting one. It's called licking the back of your hand.
Yes, yes. I'm sure you've seen in TV and movies that nerdy fellow before a date will cup their hand and blow into it. Happens to be a great way to smell your hand, but no indication of your bad breath. So what you do is you lick the back of your hand. Make sure you lick your own hand, by the way. Let that dry a few seconds and then smell that. And the reason that works is the nasty chemicals in bad breath after the saliva dries off will stick to your hand and will give you more or less an indication of the way that your breath smells. So that's a fairly accurate way. Of course, the best way is with the halimeter, which is a clinical instrument which measures bad breath in parts per billion. So if you don't have a $3,000 halimeter, the wrist lick test is the next best thing.
And would you say that cleaning your teeth after each meal would be useful? Was it just a case of morning and night? What's the frequency by which we should actually be brushing?
Well, twice a day it is sufficient. I always believe you should do it at least twice a day. Preferably, one of those times would be right before you go to sleep. The plaque builds up quite a bit as you're sleeping because your mouth becomes very dry when you're sleeping. So make sure one of those times is right before bedtime. That's very critical. We do have a lot of information about this on our website. In the UK, it's thebreathco.com. So tons of information there. In fact, you can even download the Bad Breath Bible from thebreathco.com. So quite a bit of information there.
I was just actually looking at the American website, of course, which is thoroughbreath.com, either of which will bring you some magical information, which is great stuff.
Yes.
National Hot Dog Day. I can't believe we actually have these kind of things. But
is
this something which it's a bit like trick or treat? It's come over from the States to kind of come to Britain? Or is it just a case of, no, it is National Hot Dog Day globally?
It's global. There are hot dogs in Singapore. There are hot dogs in New Delhi. I guess there's delis everywhere, even in New Delhi. So, yeah, hot dogs will give you bad breath and heartburn. So it's an international phenomenon.
Dr. Katz, has been a genuine delight and a pleasure touching base on something which I think will continue to vex folk. But you've pointed us in the right direction. The solution is actually there. You can actually find it online as well. And in terms of that, just a reminder of the web address. Of course, Boots the Chemist as well will be there. You can also access your information through?
Thebreathco.com.
Two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting and hopefully hygienically sound telephonic link with us on Midweek Drive today?
Excellent, yes.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again? Who knows when you're back in California, becoming one of our California correspondents, spreading the word of good oral hygiene.
I'd love to speak to you again.
Marvellous. Thanks to Dr. Harold Katz there. And from there to a fantastic individual who's always in top form, Michelle Monroe. How are you, Michelle?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. You?
Have you flossed today? Have you sorted way through?
Always floss, yes.
Marvellous. This is very good. Because, I mean, that notion of, obviously, the unnamed lounge singer who had such challenging breath that, effectively, the audience was sort of stepping aside. It's not good, really.
It's not good. You know, I've added 5 years to my life, so there we go.
There we are. You see, these are the critical sort of aspects. Can I introduce you to Dr. Muzna Rahman, who's back with us again today, and has obviously done all heaps of research in terms of Matt Monroe, a whole heap of other things. Of course, The Singer, available in paperback, and you can download it as well. We have Tarina Jones, who's making her debut on the show today, although she originally came along to one of our sister shows here on Siren FM, Inspired On Air, with a 6-foot blue bear. I was quite amazed by that, but it just showed that, you know, the bear itself had a wonderful, happy walk. Cue Michelle. What are we going to talk about today?
Alex, what can I say? A bit of an obscurity this week. It's the title song from a musical with music by Jimmy Van Heusen, lyrics by Sammy Kahn, and a book by Roger O'Herson and Ketty Frings. The story is based on the play Hobson's Choice by Harold Brighouse and was nominated for 6 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, but despite its success, it's now largely forgotten. The song was originally meant to be sung by Jackie Gleason in the 1963 film Papa's Delicate Condition, but it was dropped before the movie's release. The production opened on Broadway at the Lundfontein Theatre on November the 26th, 1966, and it ran for 161 performances. The cast included George Rose as Henry Hobson and Norman Wisdom as Will Mossop. My father's version of this song was recorded a few weeks before the show opened in early November at Capitol's New York studios, which was just a few minutes' walk from the Lundfontein. I don't know if Dad did take that short trip, but if he did, maybe he was walking happy.
There's the kind of walk you walk when the world's undone you. There's the kind of walk you walk when you're feeling proud. There's the kind of walk you walk when the neighbors shun you. There's the kind of walk you walk sets you above the crowd.
If we'd had the webcam on, you would have seen Musda and Tarina swinging from side to side, swaying there. Just, I mean,
walking happy. Walking, it makes you feel good.
Precisely. I mean, from the wonderful joys of Grayson the Budgerigar in Jersey, through to Sarah Gayton's cheese, through to dental hygiene, through to walking happy. Splendid. Well, any questions that you'd like to put to Marie Michelle Monroe Tarina about life, the universe, or just, you know, the fabulous world of Matt Monroe?
I've always wondered what it would be like to have a celebrity parent.
Good question.
Mm. Well,
or is it no different?
It is different. I mean, it's no different from a family point of view. It's very strict, actually.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let me get away with anything. But my mum was more lenient, so I would always go to her for anything, like staying out late. You know, if you want to go disco or something, come home later than normal. Dad wouldn't allow it. But you know, that's any parent, but, you know, there is that other element, isn't there, where he's not really mine, I have to share him. Mm. And that's a hard lesson to learn as a little girl.
Yeah.
But I can't say there aren't advantages, but there are also disadvantages.
I can imagine. I don't think I would want to share my dad.
It's difficult. I remember after one show, you know, I was dying to run backstage and sort of have that big hug, and
yeah.
I went backstage and had to get in line kind of thing, you know. And it's tough. That was tough.
But I expect
you know, I'm blessed because, you know, unlike other children, I have the music, I have the legacy, and I'm very lucky that I can still promote that.
Yeah, and I suppose you had your private times anyway where nobody had access to your dad.
Not really, no.
Fab.
It was very difficult to get any private time outside of the house itself. You know.
Well, paparazzi just beginning to emerge in those days. You just don't know where we're going on that particular side of things. But still, he's still resonating in Heaven FM and will continue to do so on Siren 107.3 FM's Midweek Drive and
a
whole heap of other things.
Jam session up there somewhere, you know.
Absolutely. So, Musda, what are the last two questions we need to bowl to Michelle Monroe before we go off to California again and hopefully speak to Arthur Weingarten?
Have you had a satisfactory telephonic connection?
Always a pleasure and never a chore with Alex.
And will you be coming back again?
No.
Oh! Oh yes. You know, I just asked Al today whether anyone ever said no, and there you go.
I like to keep Alex on his feet.
Well, that's true. You don't want to, like, you need to, like, preserve the rarity of your...
That's right. I shall be back on the 6th of August. Not live, but I have been in the studio and done a special song for that week, which I think you're all going to like.
It's superb. In two syllables, superb.
Yes, I'm going, Alex, to Norway. It's not often you say that England will be warmer.
Well, you've got the fjords as well, of course, to look forward to. And those crinkly bits, Slutty Bartfast will be proud.
Very crinkly. Crinkly bottom. All the leaves are brown.